We're in a series titled The Cast of Christmas. There are different voices and different messages that come through the different people or the people involved in the Christmas story. 2 weeks ago, we talked about the prophets, and there was a message from the prophets, and the message is to wait expectantly. Wait expectantly. And Isaiah taught us that Christ can be special to each of us, but there will be seasons in life like Isaiah, who was prophesying 600 years before Christ was born. He says it can be Wonderful, Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, and Prince of Peace. That's who Jesus can be to us. And that was the voice from the prophets. Last week we talked about the voice from the angels, and we talked about the message was to live victoriously. When the heavenly host appeared to the shepherds, they proclaimed that the favor, the blessing of God, peace on earth towards men and on earth, upon whom his favor rests. And so we talked about favor last week. Favor is something God can just bestow upon us. It's his goodness. We cannot earn it. And we talked about how favor can advance us toward our destiny. And you see, if we're going through a struggle like Joseph was when he was in prison, in the book of Genesis, he was in prison, and the favor of God was upon him. And you know what that means to us? If you're in the middle of a struggle, and you invite and invoke the favor of God in the middle of your circumstances, here's what he'll do. He will make your circumstances prepare you for your greater level of ministry that is yet to come. That's just how it works. It's the favor of God taking the hardship and the pain of life and somehow making it work for good. And that's what we learned from Joseph. Well, we need to position ourselves to get favor, and we do that by humbling ourselves. And God is drawn to humility. So today is part three in our series of the Cast of Christmas. And today we're talking about the shepherds. Our theme today is the message from the shepherds, and it's two words. We're going to look at today what they teach us about following obediently. Following obediently. And we're going to learn from them the significance and the importance that when God speaks to us, we need to respond and say yes. And great life lessons we can learn from them. So let's go to our sermon listening guide. Point number one, three lessons from the shepherds on following obediently. Here's the first one. When God speaks, make a decision to act. When God speaks or prompts you or me to do something, we need to make a decision to say yes and act on the prompting. Now, in your notes is Luke 2:15. I'd like for us to read it together. When the angels had left them and gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let's go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us about." Now, get the picture. Shepherds are out in a field. One angel appears, and then a heavenly host appears, and they make an announcement. And they talk about Jesus being born and God's favor upon mankind. And there was a communication from God himself to the shepherds. Now, it was pretty dramatic, okay? But I want you to notice the shepherd's response. Two words. Let's go. Let's go. There was a message from heaven about something that happened in Bethlehem, the birth of Jesus, and they responded with, "Let's go." You see, what that tells us is this. When we feel prompted and led by God's Spirit to do something, you know what our response needs to be? Let's go. It's always important to predetermine that God, when you speak, make a decision to act on it, because obedience is the only doorway to a greater and blessed life in the future. Our spiritual growth is accelerated. We grow deeper. We grow faster when we are obedient. And when God speaks to us, we say, let's go. Now, I want us to understand this was a very dramatic event. And God often speaks in a much simpler, quieter way. And we find in the book of 1 Kings, there's a story about a guy by the name of Elijah. And Elijah had just taken on 450 prophets of Baal. You know the story. The 450 prophets built a sacrifice of oxen and wood, and Elijah did the same thing. And then each of them, each team, called upon their God to come and answer. Well, the 450 prophets, they called upon their God, and nothing happened. And then when Elijah called upon the living God, fire came down out of heaven and consumed the sacrifice, and basically God got the glory in that event. After that's all over, Elijah is emotionally spent, he's tired, and he wonders if God is still with him. And let's read together the text in your notes, verses 12 and 13 from 1 Kings 19. After the earthquake came a fire, but the Lord was not in the fire. And after the fire came a gentle whisper. When Elijah heard it, he pulled his cloak over his face and went out and stood at the mouth of the cave. Then a voice said to him, "What are you doing here, Elijah?" I want you to notice something. Elijah was tired and exhausted after this output in ministry. And he wondered if God was still with him. And there was an earthquake, there was a fire. But here's what happened. After that, he heard a gentle whisper. The King James calls it a still, small voice. Now, I've never had an angel appear to me like the shepherds. Some people do. Usually, what happens with me, it's a still, small voice. It's a gentle whisper in my spirit of what God wants me to do. Now, I want us to understand the gentle whisper might mean making a trip across the street to your neighbor. Maybe it's taking them some food. Maybe it's giving somebody some money. Maybe it's just encouraging them with your words. Maybe it's a trip to the hospital, to a nursing home. Maybe it could be a host of things. But a still, small voice, a gentle whisper, is how God most often communicates his truth, his pathway, his direction into our lives. I came across a story about a 13-year-old girl by the name of Natalie Gilbert. She was scheduled to perform the national anthem at an NBA basketball game. She had a beautiful voice and had sung the anthem numerous times at other public events. But when she began to sing these familiar words of the Star Spangled Banner at this particular event, she froze. And the words didn't come out. It's on national TV, a live audience, and the Portland Trailblazers coach, Maurice Cheeks, walked up beside her. And he puts his arm around her, and here's what he did. He began to whisper into her ear the words to the Star Spangled Banner. Apparently that didn't entirely work, and then he started to sing with her. And then he used his hand to motion to the rest of the fans that they join in, and they got through it. Well, apparently in the early morning news the next day, there was a headline that says, a little girl, an off-key coach, and 20,000 people finished it together. But here's the point. She froze. And this coach comes up puts his arm around her, and he begins to whisper the words into her ear. And he said he did not want her to be alone in that circumstance. You see, God will draw close to you in the midst of when you freeze or you have a tough time in life. You know what he's going to do? He's going to whisper. A gentle whisper. A still, small voice. And he's going to speak into your life words of life, hope, and encouragement for what that next step in your life should be. God is always speaking. It's, are we taking time to listen? Now, here's an insight about Elijah's life. Elijah had trained himself month after month, year after year, to listen for the gentle whisper. He was trained to do that. And in the text, it says, when he heard the gentle whisper, when Elijah heard it, he pulled his cloak over his face and he went out and stood at the mouth of the cave. Then a voice said to him, you see, he heard it and then he went after more of it and he pulled the cloak over his head to listen to what the next word of instruction would be. God will do that same for you and me. And when we hear his instructions, we need to respond like the shepherds. Let's go. Let's do it. I will follow. Direct my life. Be my Lord. Guide me. Show me the next step. You see, when God speaks, we have to make a decision to act, to say yes, and we say, let's go. Let's do it. Now, that leads us to the second point. So the shepherds decided to go. And number two is, after they obeyed God's leading, they went towards Bethlehem, they had a story to share. They had a story to share. Read with me verses 16 and 18 from Luke 2 in your notes. So they hurried off and found Mary and Joseph and the baby who was lying in the manger. When they had seen him, they spread the word concerning what they had been told them about this child. And all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds said to them. Circle the word, spread the word. Spread the word. You see, when you and I obey God, here's what we're doing. We are responding to his invitation to be a part of a bigger picture plan. The bigger picture plan of the kingdom authority, of living a life of influence to help other people on our earthly journey. And so when the shepherd said, let's go, and they engaged themselves in their calling. Let me say that again. You may be here today, and God may be calling you in a certain direction. There's something he wants you to do, or a career, or a choice, or maybe a specific assignment. And when we say yes, we are becoming engaged in the bigger story that God is writing through our lives. Let me tell you a tragedy. A tragedy is when a person goes through their entire life, and they come to the end of their life, and they've never engaged themselves in the bigger picture story. They've lived life on just their own terms, and they've never allowed God to be a part of it, and they get to the end of their life, and they do not have a story which involves the supernatural, the presence of the Holy Spirit, God himself living in them and through them. But here's the key. When the shepherds said yes, they engaged their lives into the bigger picture story. I want us to understand, God has an invitation for each person here today. You know what it is? He wants to write a story through your life. He wants to do something in and through you that you never thought possible or maybe even dreamed about. But when we say yes and we engage in it, God begins to do things that we cannot do, and we have something to share with other people. I thought about the congregation and even people here today. Many of you have been through a lot, and you have amazing stories. And your most powerful tool in your tool belt is your story of Christ living in you and through you. You know why? You've engaged in the bigger picture story. It's just not about you. It's about God in you. And so the shepherds are in the scriptures because they said yes, and we read about them. You and I are part of the book of Acts, current year, 2019, because we allow him to write a story through us. And it says the shepherds spread the word. I want you to notice one other thing. It says all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherd sent to them. When people hear your story, they can be amazed at the power of God in your life. I mean, they were amazed at what the shepherd said, but the same is true of us. And I look out over the congregation, and there's amazement here. Not because of what you did, but because of Christ in you. And so they spread the word, and the people were amazed. And they had a story to share. Read with me 1 Peter 3:15 in your notes. But in your hearts, set apart Christ as Lord. Always be prepared to give an answer to everyone who asks you to give the reason for the hope that you have. But do this with gentleness and respect. So Christmas is about 10 days away. And when you think about sharing your story or spreading the word, as Tim talked about those little cards, here's the challenge. People out there need to hear the story of what grace can do in their life. And so you can plant seeds this week and over the next 10 days. Invite people out next Sunday. Invite them to Christmas Eve. But plant some seeds. Share your story. Encourage them. You know why? God wants to extend an invitation to those folks that aren't here to be a part of the bigger picture story. So number one, when God speaks, make a decision to act. Let's go. Number two, after obeying God's leading, you will have a story to share. Number three, your best days ahead follow times of obedience. The best days of your life going forward will be after you and I obey the leading of the Spirit day after day, guaranteed. Read with me verses 19 and 20 from Luke 2 in your notes. But Mary treasured up all these things and pondered them in her heart. The shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things they had heard and seen, which were just as they had been told. Circle the words treasured up. Mary treasured up. You see, inside everybody here, you have a treasure chest in your life. And when God did amazing things in Mary's life, she put it in her treasure chest, and she pondered it. You see, when God does something amazing in your life, you and I need to put it into the treasure chest. The best days follow when we are obedient today. The shepherds, after they engaged in God's story, they then went back, they glorified God, they praised him, and they had something in their treasure chest. Here's the question. Are you adding to your treasure chest? You know how you do that? One simple act of obedience after another, because that's what continues to open doors in the future of greater blessing. In Psalm 42, 12 to 13, it's about Job. Let's read this together. The Lord blessed the latter part of Job's life more than the first. He had 14,000 sheep, 6,000 camels, 1,000 yoke of oxen, and 1,000 donkeys. And he also had 7 sons and 3 daughters. You know the story of Job. He lost his health. He lost his livestock. He lost 10 children. And he was in a deep, deep valley. But here's what he did. He obeyed and he kept his faith. And once he got to the other side of the test, it said God blessed the latter part of Job more than the former. You know what that says? Obedience always results in your best days are yet ahead of you. So I want to close with two slides. Here's the first one. Obedience, following obediently, is the key to freedom. There have been times in my life where I've gotten this right. There's times where I didn't get it right. I remember once, this is some time ago, I was at the gym, and I was talking with a person, and I felt a prompting to pray for this individual and the need. And I kind of wrestled with it. There were other people in the gym, and I felt a little odd, and I didn't do it. I didn't do it. I left there, and I did not have freedom. I felt very confined and somewhat defeated because I hadn't followed through on the prompting, the whisper, the still small voice. There's been other times, whether on the street or even at the Big M, I've run into somebody, and I felt this sense of wanting to pray or needing to pray for them, just a simple prayer, and so I did. And I tell you what, once I did that, I felt totally free and good about it. You see, freedom is a result of obedience. And the more we say, yes, let's go, and we engage in the calling of our life, the more freedom we'll experience. Here's the last slide. Obedience opens the doors to God's future plans in your life. See, it's one step at a time. When we just obey, you never know what kind of a door will open. So the shepherds, their message to us, follow obediently. When God finds an individual or a group of people that are willing to follow obediently, he drops an idea into somebody's mind and they say, let's go. And then we engage in the story, we pursue it, and we have something to share with others. And then finally, hey, our best days are yet ahead. I want to share one final story comes to mind. I remember the day years ago, probably in 2000, 2001, when Ron Lynn stopped over at the house on Griswold Street. That's when we had a parsonage. And he pulled in the driveway, and he says, you know what? The Harvey property would be a good place for a church. He wasn't there very long. I think he must have been in lunch hour or something. He took off. It was just one idea. And we took that idea. We went and talked with Joe and Carol Lee, and things began to happen. And we ended up buying the property. And it over time, here we are today, okay? But here's the thought behind that. When you follow one act of obedience, it may require a whole bunch more acts to get to where the final destination is, but it starts with one. And so when Ron shared that, one idea, one person, God dropped it into his heart, and then we followed it, then we took the next step, and the next step, and here we are today. Listen, God wants you to be engaged in his plan. He's extending that opportunity, and when he speaks to you about a career path, about what he wants you to do, or it may be an assignment or a ministry. It might be helping your neighbor. You're just available, whatever it is. We say, let's go. Let's do it. Let's pursue it. Can I tell you? Obedience opens the doors to God's future plans. I thought about 2020 some. I'm excited about it. You know why? I wonder what's going to happen in 2020. That we don't even think about yet or haven't. That God has plans for us as a people to make a difference in our community. Obedience opens the doors to God's future plans. Let's bow for prayer. I want you to take just a few moments of silence and listen to the prompting of the Holy Spirit, the still small voice, the gentle whisper. God has assignments for you today and even this week to be a blessing to someone else. And I want you to, like Elijah, just kind of prepare yourself and listen intently for whatever it is he speaks to you. And make a decision right now that whatever he speaks, you will say, "I'll go." Father, I thank you today that you can change a life. You can change a career path. You can change the trajectory of one person's life at a time when they just say, "Yes, I will follow you. I give you myself. I engage in your story." And Lord, we thank you today for your offer to each of us to be a part of the big picture kingdom plan, the eternal plan that you have for us and for mankind. I pray your blessing upon every person here, especially this week when it comes to sharing and inviting others, that we will be available and listen to the prompting of the still small voice to invite people, to encourage them, to bless them. Maybe it's a little gift, maybe it's money, maybe it's food, whatever it is. Maybe it's just encouragement. Father, here we are, Christmas season, 10 days away, and we pray you'll take us, use us, and bless us, because we want to respond, "Let's go." In Jesus' name, amen.